Amen. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father God, I just thank you so much. Lord, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your steadfastness. How you just continue to consistently, lovingly, patiently work in our lives. And Holy Spirit, you're the one doing the work. But you don't do it against our wills. You invite us to come into agreement with what you want to do in our lives. And Lord, my prayer tonight, as we come before your word, is that we will come into agreement with what you want to do, whatever it is. If somebody's here tonight and they need emotional healing, you're the one that knows the way to it. If there's somebody here tonight that needs physical healing or needs spiritual healing, whatever is on the docket for tonight, Holy Spirit, you're the one that does it. The only power we have is to come into agreement with what you do. So, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to trust you? Would you help us to go to places that we dare not go, but go to places because you want to take us there? So bless your word. And, Lord, bless our time here tonight. We pray this all in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. I want to give for you, if I could, a word picture. And I think that, and this has always been something that I've always wrestled with. And I don't think that anybody has all the answers and can give you all the answers, but there seems to be this area in the life of a believer where we read about things that God offers us, but we don't necessarily, as believers, experience the fullness of those things. And so there's this promise, but then there's this part of us that's like, I think that sounds great, but I must be doing something wrong because I'm not quite experiencing that. I want to give for you a word picture of what the way that I think that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and one of the things that drives this idea of Saturday night services and what we want to create space for deliberately. Obviously, all of our worship are areas where these things can happen, but we're actually going to do it deliberately on Saturday nights. But I want the word picture is this. Imagine if you would at your homes, or let's say you've got this home, and you come home and you notice that while you were gone, the sewers had backed up, and you had about 3 or 4 feet of sewage in your basement, right? Imagine the smells, imagine what that looks like. I'm not talking about storm sewer. I'm talking about sewer, right? Oh, I mean, there'd probably be a party that says, we got to get rid of this whole house. This house is never coming back from this. And I think if I could just be honest and we could go to places of vulnerability, see, I do believe that that's part of what sin does to our lives. I think that when we allow sin into our lives, or sin comes into our lives, this is kind of the effect. Now, when we come to Jesus, when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit enters into we are the temple of the Lord, and part of what we don't talk about a lot is the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us by getting rid of that sin and working through those things. Now, imagine if you would, the Holy Spirit comes in, and the first thing it does is it unplugs the sewer pipe, and all of that sewage runs back out. But that room is probably still not a room you want to go into, right? There's a residual. There's something that remains that there has to be this deeper cleaning. And this is what I believe that as the life of a Christian, as we go through, is the Holy Spirit is wanting to go down into those areas and clean those areas. And I don't know. I think that when we have a superficial faith, we don't like to go down there. It's like, no, it's nasty down there. I don't want to go down there. But that's where the Spirit wants to go, because the Holy Spirit knows that ultimately the Spirit has a plan for us, and the Holy Spirit wants to free us. Now, I do want to say that that imagine, if you would, that you have a neighbor that continually makes fun of you because your house stinks, or makes fun of the fact because you have stains downstairs, or there's like this remnant that remains and says, you know, you'll never get that clean. It's never going to be clean. You know, I don't believe anybody that tells you that you can fix that. You just need to stay out of there because it's nasty. And the reason why I bring this up is because as a pastor, I see people that are avoiding going to these deeper areas with the Holy Spirit to allow the Holy Spirit to clean things up. They just don't want to go there. And so, you know, tonight we're talking about something that is probably, quite frankly, one of the most damaging things that happens in our society today. We're talking about sexual sin. Now, by saying that, to me, there's kind of two types of sexual sin. There's the sexual sin that we choose to do, but then there's sexual sin that is done to us. And you know, and this is kind of an area, the effect on many levels is just as damaging, so, and oftentimes you could say it's more traumatic if sexual sin has been done to us. But the point is that God even wants to go there and clean that and take care of it, and there's something about us that's resistant to go there. We just want to, we want to suppress it, we want to shut the door, we want to lock it, and say, you know what, I just want to pretend that that never happened, or it doesn't exist. And the Holy Spirit says, you know what? I know that it's there. I also know that it's affecting you today. It's affecting the way you see, you live life, and it's affecting the way, and Satan knows. So I don't want to just clean it. I want to free you so it's not an issue anymore. And this is the part of the ways in which the Holy Spirit delivers this. Now, I want to just give you a couple, just flat out statistics, and I'm gonna focus on sexual assault for just a minute, because I think it's very prevalent in our society today. We know, statistically speaking, I was doing some research on this, so statistically, going to mental health, they're just now beginning to make connections between mental health and sexual experience. You see, our society has changed over the last 30 years. See, they couldn't really have any long-term data, and so we are moving, for the last several years, probably the last two decades, we've been moving into this place where we kind of think there is such a thing and it's okay to experience casual sex. And it isn't okay. And we think that if we experience casual sex, that it's not that big a deal, that's in our past. But what they're finding is there is actually a clinical connection between sexual experience and emotional and physical health. There's a connection that people in their 40s are being affected by things they did in their 20s. And this is, you know, as we talk to our kids, this is something that I tell them. I'm like, and you've heard me say this before if you've heard me preach, there is absolutely no such thing as casual sex. There's none. It is a lie straight from hell. It has an effect on us. It has an effect. I want to take you, so I want to show this to you in Scripture. I want to walk you through a few things. First of all, I want to take you to Jesus' words in Mark chapter 12. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Mark 12. And I want to show you, kind of set a context for how this works. And then my plan is, once I kind of lay a foundation for this, I want to bring my sweet wife up here, and she's going to share with you how God has helped clean some areas in her life and helped free her from some things. But if you go to Mark 12, verse 29, these are Jesus's words. He says, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Question: if you have an enemy that hates you and hates God, what do you think he targets in your life? Could it be the greatest two commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. So as we talk about this, we talk about heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's break that down. Because we talk about inner healing, what I believe is these are the four areas that we're talking about. So heart, what is that? Heart is emotional. So emotional healing. Don't raise your hands, but just think to yourself, anybody here needs some emotional healing? Emotional healing. Soul, spiritual healing. Kind of affects your relationship with God. Kind of affects going to that place of trust with the Lord. Soul, spiritual healing. Mind, mental. What are your thoughts? Let's go a little more distinctly. What are the ants in your life? We went to a mental health course. What are your automatic negative thoughts? See, we have these areas that we go to in our brains. And for some people, it's positive. For other people, it's always negative. Why? What's the difference? Well, a lot of it is life experience. We don't have mental health. We need mental healing. And then strength is physical. So we pray for physical healing. We pray for people to receive physical healing. We can pray for thoughts, right? We can, you know, if we're struggling with thoughts, you can receive prayer for thoughts. Spiritual, you know, if you're just feeling distant from God, we can pray for spiritual healing, emotional healing. These are kind of areas where I think the Holy Spirit wants to meet us and heal us. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 6. As we kind of get back to this idea of sexual sin, I believe, based on my experience and what I've read in Scripture, that Satan attacks us in these areas. And I'm going to make the argument that there's no single sin area, again, whether it's something we've done or something that's been done to us, there's no greater sin area that gives him a greater foothold in any of these areas than sexual sin. Now, I want to remind you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not about pounding our finger and any of those things. It's just about going to a dirty place. And taking power back from the enemy. And say, you know what, Satan? Maybe I made some mistakes, or maybe somebody did something to me against my will. I'm gonna work through this, but I believe God can heal me and take your power away in this area of my life. I'm not just gonna relinquish power to you in this area. I believe God has something to say about this. I want to take you. So 1 Corinthians 6, let me show this to you in Scripture. So 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, Paul says, "You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. He says, God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ?" So Satan wants to hurt our bodies. It says, "Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute?" Never. Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? So in some areas of ministry, they refer to these as soul ties. This is why there's no such thing as casual sex. And this is what we have to be mindful of. And I believe these are the areas that the Holy Spirit wants to break those ties. So if there's a tie, if there is a tie that happened, again, through sexual sin, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to come in and break that. It says that the Scriptures say, don't you realize the man joins himself to a prostitute, becomes one body with her? For the Scriptures say the two are united into one, soul tie. But the person is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So this is this idea. So as always in Scripture, there's the who we are apart from Christ. Then there's the who we are in Christ. I am united with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your own body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Now again, you know, obviously there are times that we have compromised and given into this, and then unfortunately there are times where it's been forced upon us. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to heal both. And I just want to kind of, you know, as we talk about this, I want to give you a few more statistics. I know that, you know, statistically we talk about sexual abuse. We have men and women in here, and it's not exclusive just to women, okay? Men get sexually abused too, and it's just all, I think it's all part of the way Satan wants to break down our culture and our societies. We know that one in four women, statistically speaking, have been sexually assaulted. I think that is way low. I think that's reported. I think it's at least a third to half. Because just based on conversations that I've had, and I know that the effect is devastating, says that victims of sexual assault are 13% more likely to abuse alcohol and 26% more likely to abuse drugs because it's so painful that they want to deaden the pain. See, this is the effect of sin. But I know people that have been freed. I know, I love people that have been freed. And I want to invite my wife up here to talk to you and share with you what God has done in her life and how powerful it is. And I think it's easy for people to look at a pastor and his wife and say, oh, well, they've probably never experienced a lot of these things. I'm telling you, nobody's free from sexual sin, whether it be something that we've done or that's been done to us. And so I want to bring my wife up here, and I'm going to pray for her real quick, if you would join me in praying for her as she shares with you what the Holy Spirit's done in her life. So, Father God, I just want to pray for my wife, Vicki. Lord, I thank you for the heart that you've given her, but most of all, I thank you for the work and the freedom that you've given her. So, Lord, I just bless her in your name. I pray that you would use her to be your witness and that you would use her and her testimony to set captives free. So I just bless Vicki in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hey, y'all. So I'm flipping through the channels this week, and I come to this movie from my childhood, and I'm going to date myself now, and don't judge me. It came out in the 70s, and it was Jaws. How many of you have seen Jaws? Okay, good. So it's this scene where the three guys are down below, and they're laughing, and they're having a good time, and they start comparing their scars. So they're lifting up their pant legs, they're unrolling their sleeves, they're opening their shirt, and they're saying, you know, look, take a look at these scars. And when we have a wound, Satan has that wound. And we don't show each other our gaping wounds, because what would we do? We'd go, ugh, nobody wants to see that. But when Jesus gets a hold of it and heals it, it's a scar. And so tonight, I'm going to show you that I have this Jesus-shaped scar around my heart. And he's healed me. So, about 15 years ago, God was so working in our lives. And now we can look back and we know that he was preparing us to plant the way. And at that time, we had no idea that that was what was ahead for us. So, Steve was just on fire for the Lord. He was taking classes to become a commissioned pastor, and we had both surrendered our lives to Christ. And what happens when we give our heart to Jesus, he sends the Holy Spirit to live in us. And the Holy Spirit wants to come into every single part of us. And so I was taking my first Bible study, Breaking Free, which just God plans the timing of everything. And so while God was so good and calling us closer to him and working on our lives, we were really struggling in our marriage because I didn't want my husband to touch me. I was sexually abused as a little girl. And then my dad left us when I was 14. He had cheated on my mom a few times, and he left us. And so not only I was so bitter and angry, I had a huge chip on my shoulder. And this is because of the sin that had happened to me in my life. And so at the same time, we had this woman in our church who was also taking the commissioned pastor course. And she spoke one Sunday, and it was all I could do to keep it together because her story was my story. And she was talking about how she had been abused, and she was talking about how she still thought about it every day. And at this point in my life, I cried every single day, and I thought about it every day, and I couldn't be touched by my husband without thinking about it. And so Steve said to me, you know, you need to get help. And what Satan does when something like that happens is he says, you're the only one. And so you make vows and you say, I'm never telling anybody what happened because they'll think it's my fault. And I got to tell you, I cry about it now, not because of what happened to me, because it's the Holy Spirit. And I just remember being in that dark, dark place. And I'm so thankful now that I'm not there anymore. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's why I cry about it. Not because what happened to me, because I never cry about it. I still think about it every day. But I think about it because I thank Jesus for what he's done in my life and that he healed me for it. So I went to go see this woman, Suzanne. And there were a lot of obstacles, actually, before I actually got to see her. She got sick. We had planned a meeting. She got sick, and then I got sick. And you kind of say to yourself, you know, it's just not worth it. I don't want to go there because it could get ugly. Well, let me tell you, there's another lie from Satan because it's already ugly. I was already crying about it every single day. It was affecting me as a wife, as a mom, in every relationship I had, it was affecting me. And so I finally got to go see her, and I was on the floor just crying. And I know now that that was the last time that I would ever cry about what happened to me because I was hurt by it. And she prayed just for God to cleanse me and love me and make me pure again, and that I would know that it wasn't my fault. And I walked out of there, and I felt so different. Immediately, I felt so different. And God was so close to me. I describe him as being just right here. For about a month, he was just right here. Kind of like if you had a child that broke their leg, then you suddenly would be close to them while they were healing. And that's how God was for me. And then he kind of pulled back so that I would seek him more. And he knew that I would be okay. About eight or nine years ago, I heard something in the wall of our kitchen. And I called the pest control guy, and he was set to come that afternoon. I was busy painting in Jake's room, that day. And so it was a mess. You know how it's messy when you're painting. You have everything in the middle of the room. And I saw something out of the corner of my eye move, and it was a mouse. And so I hopped from the ladder to the bed. I don't know why, because the ladder was higher than the bed, but, you know, I was the only one home, but still, you scream because it's a mouse. And so I don't know what I did until the pest control guy got there, but he basically just said, you know, put out some traps where you saw the mouse and you'll get it. So the kids come home and I tell them about it, and they're, you know, they're all kind of, it's new to us, so it's kind of excitement in the house. And every now and then it would run across the floor and Lex and I would scream, ah! And Jake would come running in, and he had a baseball bat. And he was 9 or 10 at the time. And you know how kids' rooms are. They have stuff on the floor, in the closet, everywhere. And so Jake would go around his room and Lex's room just hitting everything with that baseball bat. And so then he'd leave, and Lex and I would be, you know, trying to clean up and see where the mouse could be. Actually, it ended up being 3 mice. At that time, we didn't know that it was 3, but they were all just, it was insane. You never know what's going on in someone's house at night. So Steve gets home, and I said, Steve, you got to do something. I can't sleep in here with this mouse. And, you know, Steve grew up in the country, so he's like, it's a mouse. We've got traps set. It'll be fine. And so Lex is cleaning the room, and she says, it's a scream like she hadn't screamed yet. And it was after Christmas, and so she had one of these, a shirt box on her floor. And you know how you stick the bottom of the box inside the lid? And stuck in between the box and the lid was this flatter than flat mouse that had seen the baseball bat that Jake was swinging. And I gotta tell you, there was no blood, no guts. It was nice and clean, this flat little mouse. And let me tell you, that's what Jesus does. When we scream at the mice, at the rats, at the dirty things in our lives, he comes running, and he's got his bat, and he's gonna swing at it, and he's gonna get it. Now, the only difference is, Jake never saw a mouse. He came running when we screamed, and he hit everything in sight. Jesus knows where those things are. And he's a gentleman. He wants to do it with us. I was wounded in relationship, and I was healed in relationship. And I prayed for 25 years, Jesus, take it away. Because I thought that was the only way I would be able to be sane in my life. And so most of the time my prayer was, take it away, take it away, take it away, take it away. But what he did when I went to that prayer session is he reached into my mind and he turned it around so that I still know about it, and I know that it broke his heart because he saw it happen. But see, he knew the good that would come from it. And so now that's how I got to know Jesus, because he changed the way I looked at it. Because I was so broken and hurt, and I needed Jesus to save me from it. And so if he came to me today and he said, do you want me to take that away? No way, because that's how I know you.
I love this woman. You know, as she was talking, I had this picture of, you know, she says that Jesus is a gentleman. He is. And there's something, and again, I'm not talking in absolutes here, but there's something about how God works when we actually say, I give this to you. Here, I give this to you. There's just something that, there's something, because, you know, we show that we trust him, right? And part of what we want is we say, Lord, would you take it away when I'm not looking so that I never have to see it again? And it's almost like Jesus says, you know what? I actually want you to give it to me because that shows that you trust me. You trust me enough to go to a place of vulnerability and say, you know what? There's nobody else on earth that I would give this to. There's nobody else on earth that could deal with this. So Jesus, I give it to you. There's something powerful. There's something very powerful about that, and it's very freeing. And, you know, a big part of this, we're called to forgive. So a big part of what has to happen and a big part of what Vicki had to go through is she had to go through a place of forgiveness. But like she said, she'll never forget. Never. But she's come to peace with what's happened. And I just think that's very important. I want to tell you that so oftentimes what I see as a pastor is people that they want freedom, but they don't want to let go of the very thing that's keeping them in bondage. Because somewhere over the years, it became a part of our identity. And who am I if I'm not this? Well, what if you're just a child of God who's been set free? How's that for a new identity? And so this is part of the process that God wants to do in us. And I want to show you, as we kind of get to a point where we want to go back to worship, and we want to invite the prayer ministers here in a minute to set up and invite you to respond as the Spirit leads you. But I want to take you to John chapter 8, and I want to show you the heart of Jesus and why we should not hesitate to come before the Lord, even regardless of the sexual sin that we battle, whether it's something that we've agreed to and we've openly done and willingly done, or whether it's something that's been done to us. You need to see the heart of Jesus in this area. So we have in John chapter 8, we have this picture of this woman that's caught in adultery. And this is a very common, very, very common. Everybody knows this story, but it's worth looking at because you've got to see the heart of Jesus. It's important to see it. No condemnation, but yet no compromise either. It's this amazing balance of holiness and love. And so it says that Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery, just say sexual sin. It says they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. What did he write? Nobody knows. Some people say that maybe he was writing the Ten Commandments. And the point was, is that we all violate those, perhaps. I don't know what he was writing. But it says they kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again. He said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again, and he wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said, and Jesus said, neither do I. Now go and sin no more. Go and sin no more, because I know what sin does to you. I know how Satan uses that sin to affect the way that you live so that you can't love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and you surely can't love anybody else as much as you love yourself. So go, but go in freedom. No condemnation. And this is what it's about when it comes to healing in these areas. So what I want to do is I want to open up this time as a time of worship, but also a time of prayer. Just as Vicky received prayer and was set free in so many ways, this is an opportunity for you to receive prayer. But I just want to say, it doesn't have to be for sexual sin. It could be for anything. Anything. If you're coming here, remember, heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your heart, emotional. Is there something? Are you feeling anxious? Are you battling anxiety? You know, before we began tonight, Matt felt we needed to pray against the spirit of anxiety. Fear. That's emotional health. You feel, how about spiritual health? Are you feeling spiritually empty? Maybe it's because of sexual sin. Maybe it's something else. Spiritual health. Heart, mind. Your thoughts. The thoughts that trickle into your head. Do you have thoughts that tell you how bad you are? Do you need healing in that area? Do you need healing to silence those thoughts? Heart, mind, soul, strength, physical healing. What's going on in your life right now? Do you need healing? So we're just going to open up this time. I'm going to pray for us. And then I'm going to let Matt allow the Holy Spirit to move them through the rest of the service. But we want to invite you to prayer. We're going to have people stationed. You can see the chairs over here, and you can see chairs in that corner. We're going to have prayer people there. If you want to receive prayer, you can go. We're going to have a place up front where you can actually kneel. And if you want a place of privacy, if you go out that door right there, we have a family room. There's going to be somebody in there that would love to pray for you. But let's just respond to the Lord. Let's invite Jesus into those dark corners and see what he wants to do. So let's pray and let's respond to Jesus, shall we? So Father God, we just thank you again for your word today. Lord, I just thank you for your relentless pursuit of your people. But it's just not enough to get them, Lord. It's not enough to find them. You are so good that you clean us up. You wipe us clean. You cleanse us of our sins, and you lift us up and you restore us. And so, Lord, for that, I just thank you. And now, Lord, as we go into this time here, we just release it to you. Wherever we're at, whatever it is that we have in our lives that we need freedom from or we need healing, Lord, let this now be a time where we can come to you. We trust you. We know that you want to set us free. So we just give this time to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you in. We invite more of you into our lives. We invite more of you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that as you come in, you fill us, you would drive out the very things that affect us. I pray right now, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, Satan, you have no power here. You have no influence here. Lord, this is a moment when, in the name of Jesus, we take back ground that has been taken by the enemy. We take it back now in your name, Jesus. We give it to you. We ask for healing in these areas. We ask, Lord, that the enemy's influence would be no more. In your name. We pray freedom. We pray purity. We pray all of these things over ourselves in your name, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, we worship you. We respond to you because we trust you. We pray this all in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I just love the gentleness of the Holy Spirit in moments like this. There's such a sweetness. He's not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. But there has to be this understanding that this is a work that he wants to do. And so, you know, I think as we go through life as Christians, when there's this disconnect over this life that's offered to us and the life that we have, we always have to be asking this question, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? What am I resisting you on right now? He'll wait. But he loves you too much to not free you from anything that's hurting you. So we're going to dismiss you here, but I want to tell you this. You don't have to leave if you don't want to. We have prayer ministers. If you want to receive prayer, if you've been in this place and maybe you've been worshiping, and we'll still do that. So you don't have to rush out of here. We're not going to just turn all the lights on and blare the music. We're just going to leave kind of a nice, reflective atmosphere. And if you want to sit here and pray or whatever, that's up to you. But I am going to please, if you do have, want to go, or if you want to receive this blessing, please stand. I'm going to go ahead and bless you, and then you're dismissed. But if you want to stay, you can. So receive this blessing. You can go now. And as you go, I pray that you would go knowing the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a good night.